Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're tackling a question that fascinates just about everyone and maybe causes a little bit of head scratching, too. Why do some people seem to just effortlessly eat whatever they want and stay lean while others feel like, you know, they're constantly fighting against weight gain?
Yeah, it's the age-old mystery, isn't it? Our mission today is really to pull back the curtain using these articles and research focused on metabolism. We're going to try and unpack what metabolism actually is, how it functions, and crucially, zero in on the factors that genuinely influence it. Maybe separate some facts from common myth along the way.
Exactly. Think of this as your shortcut to understanding your body's incredible energy system. Let's dive right in.
Okay. So at its heart, metabolism is the constant chemical process keeping you alive. It's your body's 24/7 powerhouse. Think of it like an engine that never really turns off, or maybe a factory working round the clock just to maintain everything.
Right, and it's not just about burning calories from that burger you ate.
Not at all. It's regulating critical functions, breathing, blood circulation, repairing cells, even controlling your body temperature. It's fundamental.
And the research really highlights that it's surprisingly adaptable too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It adjusts to different states like, say, fasting or pregnancy or even just after an intense workout.
Okay.
It's a real multitasking marvel, constantly balancing different demands.
Okay, so this complex system, you mentioned it operates in sort of two main modes.
That's right. Two main modes, often kind of opposing but always working together.
Could we picture them like maybe a demolition crew and a construction team? Is that a fair way to look at it?
That's actually a perfect analogy. One mode is catabolism. That's your demolition crew. Its job is to break down the food you eat, like you mentioned tacos earlier,
yeah.
Right? So breaking down those tacos into smaller components, glucose, amino acids, fatty acids, it's basically extracting the raw materials and the energy.
Got it. Demolition crew breaks things down for energy. So anabolism is the other side.
Exactly. Anabolism is the construction team. It takes those smaller parts that catabolism provided and uses them to build and repair things, like making new proteins, repairing muscle tissue after you exercise, or even storing energy for later use.
And what's amazing is that this is all happening constantly, even when we're, say, asleep.
That's the remarkable part. It's nonstop. Even when you're completely at rest, asleep, your metabolism, specifically anabolism, is busy. It's fixing tiny cuts you didn't even know you had, building necessary compounds, just keeping the whole factory running smoothly is never truly off duty.
Okay, that makes sense. So when people talk about having a slow metabolism versus a fast one, what are they really getting at? Is it just how quickly this whole factory operates?
Well, a lot of that distinction, probably the biggest part, often boils down to something called your basal metabolic rate, BMR.
BMR. Okay, lay that out for us. What exactly is BMR?
Your BMR is essentially the minimum number of calories your body needs just to exist. It's like your body's idle speed to the energy burn just for those vital functions. Breathing, keeping your heart beating, maintaining your organs, all when you're completely at rest, like lying down awake.
And this is the biggest chunk of our daily calorie burn.
Yeah, typically it accounts for about 60 to 70% of the total calories you use in a day. It's the baseline.
Ah, okay. So this is where that friend who can seemingly eat an entire pizza without gaining an ounce might have an edge. Their BMR, their idle speed, might just be naturally higher.
Precisely. Their baseline burn is just running a bit hotter, you could say. But there's another really fascinating factor the research points to that contributes significantly to this perceived difference. And something many people might not even realize is happening. It's called NEAT.
NEAT. Okay, what's NEAT stand for?
NEAT is non-exercise activity thermogenesis. It sounds complicated, but it's basically the energy your body burns through any physical activity that isn't planned exercise. Think about all the unconscious movement throughout your day, fidgeting your fingers, tapping your foot, pacing while you're on a phone call, walking from your car into the office, taking the stairs, all that stuff.
Huh. So me bouncing my leg right now could actually be boosting my metabolism a little.
It certainly could be contributing. According to the articles we looked at, NEAT can burn anywhere from, say, 100 calories up to maybe 800 extra calories per day for some people.
Wow, 800 calories. That's a huge range.
It is. And this variation between individuals is massive. It can explain a significant difference in total daily calorie burn, totally separate from workouts. It really can be a kind of secret weapon for those folks who seem to burn calories effortlessly.
Okay, so we have BMR as the baseline and NEAT as this sort of unconscious daily movement energy burn. Are these things fixed, or what factors actually influence your metabolic speed? Can we change them?
Well, that's the really empowering part, according to the material. While genetics definitely play a foundational role, some people just naturally have a slightly higher BMR. Many key factors shaping your metabolic speed are absolutely things you can influence.
Okay, good. Let's hit the big one people always talk about, age. Does your metabolism just inevitably tank as you get older?
The research does confirm there's a general trend. Metabolic rate can decrease, maybe about 1 to 2% per decade, typically after age 30. However, and this is a really critical nuance the articles emphasize, this slowdown seems largely tied to a decrease in activity levels and, importantly, muscle mass that often happens with aging if you're not actively working against it.
Ah, so it's not just the number of candles on your birthday cake then. It's more about muscle and activity.
Exactly. The key twist the material highlights is that muscle mass seems to matter more than your chronological age. So a 60-year-old who consistently lifts weights and stays active can absolutely have a higher metabolic rate, burn more calories at rest, than, say, a sedentary 25-year-old.
Right. Why is muscle mass so crucial for metabolism? What's the connection?
The sources actually describe muscle as metabolic gold. It's just significantly more metabolically active tissue compared to fat tissue. Even when you're just sitting there doing nothing, every pound of muscle burns about 6 times more calories than a pound of fat just to maintain itself.
6 times, that's a really substantial difference.
It really adds up over the day. The research gives a concrete example. If you were to swap just 5 pounds of body fat for 5 pounds of lean muscle, you could potentially burn an extra 30 calories per day just sitting around.
Huh. That's like, what, 3 Oreos or something? Just for having more muscle?
Pretty much. It's not a huge number daily.
Yeah.
But over weeks and months, that passive burn contributes.
Okay. Muscle is metabolic gold. Got it. What about the more obvious factors like, you know, diet and exercise? How do they play in?
Right. Think of diet as the fuel you put into the engine, and exercise as kind of boosting the engine's performance and efficiency. When it comes to diet, the material specifically calls out protein. The body actually uses more energy to digest and metabolize protein compared to carbs or fats. It's called the thermic effect of food, or TEF. For protein, it's about 20 to 30%, meaning 20, 30% of the calories you eat from protein are actually burned just in the process of digesting it.
Okay, compared to carbs and fats.
Much lower. Carbs are maybe 3 to 10%, and fats are even less, like 0 to 3%.
So that post-workout protein shake or having a protein-rich breakfast isn't just about building muscle tissue. It actually gives your metabolism a little extra nudge, too.
Absolutely. It's like putting premium fuel in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have exercise, which acts more like the spark plugs, really revving things up. The research highlights high-intensity interval training, or HIIT, as being particularly effective for boosting metabolism.
HIIT, right. Short bursts of intense effort.
Exactly. And the cool thing about HIIT is it creates a significant afterburn effect. It's technically called EPT, excess post-exercise oxygen consumption. Basically, your body keeps burning calories at a higher rate for hours after you've finished the workout, potentially for up to 38 hours, burning maybe an extra 25-30% on top of the calories burned during the exercise itself.
That's a pretty powerful lingering effect from a relatively short workout.
It can be very efficient, yeah. And, of course, we shouldn't forget NEAT here either.
Right, the fidgeting and pacing.
Exactly. While planned exercise like HIA is great, remember that NEAT, all those small movements throughout the day, also contributes significantly to your total energy out, adding that 100 to 800 calories burned daily for some people. It's all part of the picture.
Okay. Now, the sources also brought up a kind of warning related to diet specifically about chronic, really strict calorie restriction.
Yes, this is a really critical point. Drastically cutting calories for long periods triggers what the research describes as a survival mechanism. You sometimes hear it called starvation mode, or more accurately, metabolic adaptation. Your body basically interprets this severe lack of energy as a famine.
And it reacts defensively.
It does. It downshifts its metabolic rate, slows down that engine to conserve energy. It becomes more efficient at holding on to fat stores just in case.
Like hitting the brakes hard to save fuel during a shortage?
Pretty much. The material indicates that extreme restriction can drop your BMR by several hundred calories a day. One figure mentioned was up to 504 calories potential drop. It's your body trying to survive, which is, you know, the exact opposite of what most people want when they're trying to manage their weight.
Right. So you can't just starve yourself into having a faster metabolism. In fact, you might actually slow it down quite a bit. Which brings us to the good news section. Can you actually change your metabolism, or are you sort of stuck with the hand you were dealt genetically?
Well, the excellent news, according to these sources, is that your metabolic rate isn't set in stone. While genetics provide that baseline, your lifestyle choices have a really significant and powerful influence. You absolutely can impact how efficiently your body uses energy.
Okay, that's encouraging. So how do you work with your metabolism rather than accidentally triggering that slowdown? What strategies does the material suggest for boosting it, or at least keeping it running optimally?
The absolute top strategy that comes through loud and clear is lifting weights. Strength training. Building and maintaining muscle is like upgrading the core hardware of your calorie burning system. We already talked about muscle being metabolic gold.
Right, because it burns more calories at rest.
Exactly. And the research shows that strength training is particularly crucial during periods of weight loss. It helps preserve about 96% of your metabolic rate, effectively counteracting that potential slowdown that can happen when you reduce calories.
Okay, so lift weights to protect that metabolic engine. What else?
Starting your day with protein is another recommendation. The sources called it a metabolic espresso, because of that higher thermic effect we discussed. It gives you that 20-30% calorie burning boost just from digestion right at the start of the day.
A metabolic espresso, I like that.
Yeah. Then prioritizing sleep is just non-negotiable, according to this research. Skimping on sleep really impacts metabolism and hormone balance negatively. There was a finding that getting just 4 hours of sleep for 5 nights in a row can drop your BMR by about 2.6%.
Only 4 hours. Wow. So what's the target?
The general recommendation is to aim for 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep per night for optimal metabolic function and hormone regulation.
Okay. Weights, protein breakfast, good sleep, anything else?
Well, for many people, enjoying coffee can offer a subtle boost. Caffeine is a mild stimulant. Just, you know, be mindful of skipping the sugary creamers and syrups, which would counteract any potential benefit.
Right. Keep the coffee simple. These all seem like very practical everyday actions. Could we maybe consolidate some of the most actionable daily tips from the sources?
Absolutely. Let's reiterate the exercise points. Definitely prioritize strength training for that crucial muscle mass. Consider adding HIA for that powerful afterburn effect. And consciously try to increase your NEAT. Find ways to weave more non-exercise movement into your day.
Like taking the stairs, parking further away.
Exactly. And the material gives a really powerful, specific example for NEAT. Simply standing for an extra 3 hours a day compared to sitting for those same 3 hours could burn an additional 30,000 calories over the course of a year.
Whoa, 30,000 calories. Just from standing more instead of sitting, what does that translate to in terms of like body fat?
That's roughly equivalent to burning about 8 pounds of body fat, just from that one seemingly small, consistent change over 12 months.
That's incredible. That really shows how those little things can add up without feeling like a huge effort.
It absolutely does. And again, reinforcing sleep, it's not just about BMR, but lack of sleep also messes with hormones that regulate appetite and fat storage. So aim for those 7-9 hours consistently.
Okay. Sleep is huge.
Right.
What else?
Hydration is another simple but effective tip. Drinking enough water, the sources suggest maybe 1.5 liters a day, which is about 6 8-ounce glasses, can give your metabolic rate a temporary boost, maybe 24 to 30% higher for about an hour after drinking. Plus, staying well hydrated just supports all your body's metabolic processes in general.
Water. Got it. Any other sort of smaller tips mentioned? Little gems?
Yeah, a couple of smaller points came up. Spicy foods that contain capsaicin, the stuff that makes chili peppers hot, can give a slight temporary metabolic bump. It's not huge, but it's there. And green tea, specifically compounded it called EGCG catechin, seems to offer a gentle nudge to metabolism. The research suggests you'd likely need a few cups, maybe 2-3 daily, to see any noticeable, albeit still subtle, effect.
So it's clearly not about finding one magic bullet food or one perfect type of exercise, is it? It sounds much more like a whole lifestyle approach.
Exactly right. The way the sources frame it is almost like becoming the CEO of your body's energy system. It's about making consistent, informed choices, small things done daily that compound over time. Much like investing small amounts regularly can lead to significant growth down the line. It's a long-term investment, not a quick fix or a crash diet.
And maybe focusing only on the number on the bathroom scale could be missing the bigger picture.
The material strongly suggests that. It advises focusing on other indicators too. How are your energy levels throughout the day? How strong do you feel during workouts or daily tasks? How are your clothes fitting? These can often be much better reflections of positive metabolic changes, especially if you're building muscle while potentially losing fat. The scale might not budge much then, but you're getting healthier.
Right. Focusing on those non-scale victories. What about plateaus? When things seem to stall.
the advice there is to play detective before you just jump to drastically cutting more calories. Mm. Track things. Are you really getting enough sleep? Is stress creeping up? Has your daily movement accidentally decreased? Look at the whole picture before making potentially counterproductive cuts.
That makes sense. So a healthy metabolism isn't necessarily about having the absolute fastest furnace, but maybe more about having one that's resilient, efficient, and supports your overall well-being.
Precisely. That's what the material points towards. A healthy metabolism is one that sustainably supports your energy levels, helps you recover, and keeps you feeling good. By understanding these different factors, BMR, meat, the power of muscle, smart diet choices, effective exercise, crucial sleep, hydration, you really gain the power to positively influence your metabolic health over the long haul.
This deep dive has definitely unpacked that initial mystery for me. We've learned that while, yeah, genetics are a starting point, the difference between someone who seems to burn calories like crazy and someone who struggles often comes down heavily to these controllable factors. Things like muscle mass, that unconscious daily movement, or NEAT, making strategic diet choices like getting enough protein, really prioritizing sleep, and even just staying hydrated. It's not just random luck. It's often about understanding and actively influencing these fundamental processes.
And understanding these elements truly is empowering. It allows you to make informed changes that work with your body's energy system, not against it.
Definitely. And to leave everyone listening with a final thought based on our conversation, considering the really powerful but often totally unconscious role of NEAT, that non-exercise activity thermogenesis, what seemingly insignificant daily habit might you have right now, or perhaps could easily add, that could be quietly influencing your energy balance in ways you hadn't even considered before this discussion?